series of messages entitled Christmas for Everyone, and we're going to be looking at different characters in the Christmas story and asking, did Jesus also come for them? And so I want to encourage you this morning, but also during coming weeks, as you hear the story or you read the story about Christmas, some of us know it very well, but as we interact with different characters, did Jesus also come for them? And if he did, what's he doing in their lives? So what I'd like to do this morning is we're going to watch a short video that I hope will kind of set up this morning's reading. And then right after the video, if Lee Jane would come up and read Matthew 1, verses 1 to 17. Just want to make, did I see Lee? Oh, sorry. Okay. So the video, and then right after that, Lee Jane, if you'd come and read Matthew 1, 1 to 17.
The Old Testament is full of stories. Fascinating, true stories that capture the imagination. Brutal stories of war, revenge, and violence. Tragic stories of betrayal. And endless stories of God's power, His love, and His faithfulness. And every story points to a promise. A Savior is coming. Things will be put right. Don't give up. God gave Isaiah a glimpse of what to wait for. A people walking in darkness see a great light. The war is over. The victory celebration begins. Now, a child is born, a son is given. A leader will finally bring peace and justice forever. And so the waiting began.
I'm reading from Matthew 1, 1 to 17, the genealogy of Jesus. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon, Amon, the father of Josiah. Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abijah. Eliakim, the father of Azar. Azar, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Eliad. Eliad, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile of to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And Lee Jane, thank you very much for reading all those names. That was tough slogging. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, if you're willing to, just someone beside you, just saying, what's going on this morning? Why are we reading all these names? Is there anything in the list of names that you're thinking, oh, maybe he's going to talk about that? And maybe you're thinking, I have no idea why we read all those names. So just 30 seconds with someone beside you, if you're willing to, like, what's going on this morning? What do you think is going on this morning? Okay, 30 seconds. Just a quick idea. Maybe you passed an idea. Maybe not. I'm not sure. I was trying to show the video to get us ready for the reading because the video for me highlights this imagery that is so prominent, especially for those of us in this culture, in a northern hemisphere culture, of the darkness and the light during the season. But it's certainly also an image for us in the Bible. Those who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that was my attempt to kind of set us up for the reading a little bit, because the reading is meant to be a rehearsal of the Old Testament story, all these names, this genealogy, this family tree, but it's all going somewhere. It's really moving, we're supposed to see, from the darkness into the lights. Now, I want us to notice this morning, if we were listening to the reading, or if you have your Bibles open, or if you can remember a little bit, that the Gospel of Matthew doesn't begin by saying, once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, there was someone named Luke and his father named Darth, and maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. None of the gospel writers begin that way, especially Matthew and Luke, who are very, very careful when they tell the story. They want to tell us it's a real story. Now, we may or may not believe that, I don't know. But I just want to let you know that they intend for us to hear, this is a real story. There are real people. These are real names. And Jesus was born in real space and time. Genealogies, I'm not sure for us, I would assume for us, they're not really all that great to read. Maybe not all that important, I'm not sure. But for the biblical authors, many authors in the Bible, they put genealogies in very strategic places in the books they write. Not every author, but when they do, they always have meaning. They always identify people. And so this morning, but also during the season of Christmas, if you want to know who Jesus was, this is one way of telling the story. This is one way of identifying Jesus. But genealogies also always tell a story. Whenever we link certain names together, we have a story. So if you put Yo with Phyllis, and you know our email is yophil@shaw.ca, there's a story there, about a 17, 18-year-old story about a relationship. For people who read the Bible, you put together Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's a story basically of the book of Genesis. If I put together two names that maybe don't want to go together, but if I say Trump and Clinton, that's a story. Story about politics. And here, too, we have a story. Now, there's almost 50 names in this genealogy, but it's telling us a story about the Old Testament, about God's grace to all kinds of different people. And this morning, I want to just pick out five names from the genealogy and try and say, who is this Jesus? So one of the names I have to mention is the first name there, I think in verse 2, the name of Abraham. Abraham is the father, really, of the Jewish people. He is the father of this genealogy. He had a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather, but when the Jewish people think about their history and when we think about biblical history, really a whole new chapter begins with Abraham. And Abraham was lived about 2,000 years before Jesus. He was what I want to call, he was a promise receiver. So God made unbelievable promises to him. He said, Abraham, you're 75. I'm going to give you a son. It won't happen until you're 100, but I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you land. And the biggest promise God ever made to Abraham was, I'm going to bless all the peoples of the earth through you. And when Matthew puts Jesus, the Messiah, at the end of the genealogy, he's saying Jesus is not just part of the story in this line of promises, but he is the one who brings all those promises to fulfillment. He is the great, 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 great grandson of Abraham. Again, not just in the line of Abraham, but the one who is now the Messiah, the promised one. He is the Christ. He's going to bring all of this to its culmination. And I focus on Abraham a little bit this morning, and I focus on his promise, God's promise to him, that he would bless all the peoples through Abraham because of one theme we're trying to weave into our church this season, and hopefully also a little bit next year, is the theme of being a missional church. So every week in the bulletin, we have a little quote about the missional church. What is a missional church? This week, it's the missional church and prayer. How does that work together? Our elders and deacons are reading a book by Professor Michael Goheen about called A Light to the Nations, trying to help us realize that the Bible is never intended to be simply a good story for a few of you over there or a few of you over there. It's always meant to be a light, a story about light to the peoples, light to the nations, light to the community around us. And sometimes we need that reminder because sometimes it feels like the story is just for us. Thank you, God, for the story, but it's just for us or maybe a few others. But the biblical story is always, it has to go out. It will go out through Abraham, through the Jewish people, through Jesus, but also by God's grace through Nelson Avenue to the nations and the peoples around us. I said that Abraham was a promise receiver. He's also known as the father of the faith. He was a man of great faith, but I want to remind us he was also a man of great unfaith. Now, for some of us, that might seem like, you know, you can't say that about Abraham. But I say that because I've read the story a few times. And I want to, I think I can say that Matthew is writing his name with all the other, Abraham's name, with all the other things about him, but also trying to remind us that no character in the genealogy is 100% faith, perfect faith. There was amazing moments of faith in Abraham's life, but also amazing moments of unfaith and unbelief and not following God in his life. He is, at times, we might read the story and say, he's kind of conflicted. Do I follow God or not? And when I read his name this morning in this genealogy and I think about his story, I think Abraham is not just conflicted. He's not just, you know, one person sometimes believing, sometimes not believing. He's a lot like me and maybe a lot like some of us. And Jesus is the son, the great son from the line of Abraham. He's also the great son from the line of David, which is maybe what Matthew is trying to tell us mostly. I say that because the way that Matthew puts his genealogy together, it's three sections of 14 people. Three sections of 14 names or 14 generations. Now, for us, 14, what's up with 14? That doesn't make any sense maybe to some of us. But for the people that Matthew's writing to, most scholars think he's writing to a Jewish Christian audience. Jewish people had this thing that every letter in their alphabet had a number. So Aleph, or the A, was 1. And the Beit, or the B, was 2. And David's name with the consonants is D-V-D. Oh, DVD on. Anyhow, it's DVD. So the D's were worth 4 and the V's were worth 6. 4 plus 6 plus 4, 14. So most scholars think Matthew is using the number 14 to highlight David, and this is the son of the great King David, who also, like Abraham, was a promise receiver. He received promises from God. God told him, David, I'm going to make a great family, or a great, the image God uses, a great house from your family. And you will always have someone sitting on the throne of your kingdom. So when Matthew puts Jesus at the end of this genealogy, 3, 14, 14, 14, 14, and at the end of the genealogy, he's saying Jesus is the one who fulfills that promise as well. He is the one who will always reign or sit on the throne of King David. I also want to note this morning, like Abraham, David is a conflicted character. So, and this is for me always so difficult to understand the Bible, to be honest with you. He's known as a man after God's own heart. But for those of us who know the story, we also know he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He tried to cover up, I think, not just with people, but maybe also with God. And then after that story, he is one of the lamest fathers he just is an awful father. So David, although he is the great king, has great promises, he's also a conflicted character. He's not wholly good at all. Maybe a little bit like some of us. But Jesus the Messiah comes from the line of King David. And then thirdly, I'm thinking this morning about Tamar. Jesus is the great son of Tamar. Now I have to recognize this morning, and I wish I could have been there with Matthew when he was writing his genealogy. And I don't know if what I'm going to say is totally correct. I sometimes do that on Sunday mornings, but it was there. I'm going to say there is no genealogy in the ancient world that had women in it. Every genealogy in the Old Testament, certainly, but I think in other places as well. I'm kind of going out on a limb a little bit, but it's so unusual for someone to include women in the genealogy. I don't think he's wondering, oh, I don't want to write the name. I'm feeling embarrassed. No, I don't. But I'm thinking, I'm wondering if he's wondering, how will people respond, not just by the name of a woman, but by the name of this woman? Because the story of Tamar in the book of Genesis, chapter 38, is a story we never tell the children. It's never in a children's storybook. And I would assume most of us, maybe, or maybe some of us, have never heard the story about Tamar and Judah. It's an awful story. It's an awful story. So as Matthew is writing down his genealogy, he's not doing what we do with our family. He's not editing out, well, this person, you know, Uncle so-and-so is in jail. I'm not going to talk about him. No, he's including someone that we don't really want to talk about. So if you were to talk to our family, and this is the way our family does it, when we talk about our genealogy a little bit, not that we do that a lot, but if you were to ask Phyllis, who's in your family tree? Our kids know by now that one of the people we mention is that Phyllis's mother is, hopefully I get this right, is the fourth cousin, three times removed, of Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain. Something like that. So that's who we would tell you about. Whether you like Margaret Thatcher or not, back in the heyday, oh, she was a Prime Minister. We'll mention her name. And if you ask me, I tell you my dad used to tell me when I was growing up that we are part of the line of Washington. You can read about this on the internet. Willem Schouten, 17th century explorer, supposedly the first one to sail from Europe around the bottom of South America into the Pacific Ocean all the way to the Indonesian islands. And you can also read about this on the internet. He found islands and called them the Schouten Islands. You can also see that if you want. They're right by Indonesia. So that's what I would want to tell you, right? Willem Schouten, whether or not I'm actually connected, I'm going to claim I'm connected to him. But I would never tell you if there was someone like Tamar in our genealogy. But Matthew includes her. And I think that's amazing. And we really have to think about that when we talk about Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. We have to recognize who's in this family tree. Now, if you read the story of Tamar, and I would encourage us to do that, to know what's in the Bible. It's not a nice story. She is someone who did wrong. She is someone, I would say, who sinned. But she's someone, like King Lear says in Shakespeare's play, I am more sinned against than sinning. So Tamar, although in the story I would say she does something wrong, there are people who do more wrong to her than the wrong she does. And that's true for Tamar. I think it's true for other characters in the Bible. Sometimes it seems to be women or children or others who are poor who get treated wrongly. But this is also part of the family tree of Jesus. Jesus the Messiah comes from the line of Tamar. And fourthly, I want to also include another woman mentioned there in this genealogy. There are five women mentioned. There's Tamar and Rahab and Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and Mary. And there's also Ruth, who I think if we know the Bible a little bit, we'll say, Ruth, well, that was a great story. Her and Boaz and the romance, and they get together, and then eventually, from their marriage and their union comes King David. What a great story. But Ruth was an outsider. Ruth was, people of Israel say, she's an outcast. Not just because she's a foreigner, but she's from the country of Moab. It's almost, I would assume, one of those names they never said. Because God had told them in Book of Deuteronomy, no one from Moab can come into the temple. Even someone 10 generations from someone who come from Moab cannot go into the temple because the origins of their nation are also a messy story, a story of incest. And we don't want to tell those stories to anybody. So people from Moab, don't come here. Don't come close to the temple. Don't come close to us. Just stay over there in Moab. But Ruth comes. I never thought about that actually before, but I'm wondering when Ruth comes, whether she comes fearful. There's this amazing story, just four chapters long, but I encourage you to read it sometime, where there's Naomi, the mother, is going, and there's two daughters-in-law coming with her, and the one daughter-in-law finally says, you're right, I'm going to go back to Moab where it's safe, but Ruth grabs her mother-in-law and says, I'm going with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. Even though I'm outsider and foreigner and outcast maybe, I'm tenacious. I'm holding on to you. I'm holding on to your God. And Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes from the line of Ruth. And we could go on this morning talking about other names. Men and women, those who are known maybe to us, others who I have no idea who they were. But as I think about this rather diverse group in the book of Matthew, I'm thinking about a fifth person or a fifth group of people, Nelson Avenue. Here we have us again. Picture taken. I hope you're on there. If you're not, I'm very sorry. Taken a number of weeks ago. And I'm thinking about this genealogy, I'm thinking about these people, and there's lots of words I could use to describe Nelson Avenue, the people that are part of this church community. There's words of love and affection I would use. There's words, as David was saying, there's so many wonderful things going on. Another word I would use for us is Motley Crue. Now, some of you might be offended by that phrase, Motley Crue. Who are you talking about? I would say us together. This Matthew genealogy is kind of a motley crew of people. And we are, I think, a rather motley group of people. And these are the people that Jesus came from. But I think Matthew's also telling the story because three times in the genealogy he tells us Jesus was the Messiah, the promised one. So he didn't just come from these people, he came for these people. As the rest of the chapter tells us, he came to save these people from their sins. He came to save these people. Some of them are like Abraham. It looks like we have great faith, but sometimes there are moments where if you looked at our lives, not a lot of great faith. And sometimes we look all holy, like David, dancing before the ark of the Lord, and then sometimes we do things very, very unholy. And there are times where we confess we did something wrong, but others have wronged us far more than we have wronged them. We have been neglected or cast aside or abused in some way. Or we are people, some of us who might say, I still feel like an outsider in the culture, maybe even in the church community. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to belong. And Jesus Christ comes, not just from this motley crew, but also for all these people in this family tree, but also for all of us this morning. Wherever we can connect, and I'm assuming all of us can connect somewhere with either the characters I mentioned or maybe someone else, and say, I'm a little bit like that. But God sent his son, God sent Jesus the Messiah. Also for me this morning, I want to encourage you, whether it's this morning or sometime during this Christmas season, that you would in some way say, I recognize the Messiah came also for me. Conflicted as I am, sometimes two-faced as I am, not always sure of who I am, but the Messiah also came for me. That would be one of my prayers for us, to be, as I said earlier, to be a singing church, a singing season, but also an acknowledging season, that the Messiah was sent also for me, who's part of this motley crew. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this piece of scripture, so unusual. We don't usually read this many names and talk about names like this, but so thankful how you inspired Matthew by the Holy Spirit to write down these names, and then names that we would not expect, and names that are very much like us. And so, Lord, help us not just to see these as names sort of out there, but also in some ways, our names are in that genealogy. And we're thankful, Lord, that you are not ashamed of your family tree. You're not ashamed of the genealogy. You've come to save your people. So may we all experience that this morning and this Christmas season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.